This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning, we're going to be talking about the youth in our community. Judge Donna Scott Davenport is with us this morning. Judge, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. Beautiful day again today, isn't it?
It is gorgeous out there, I tell you. We're in the best time of the year.
Yes, we are.
Of course, I say that every season, too. You're about ready each time for the change.
You're ready for it.
And we're ready for spring now, and it's certainly a gorgeous spring out there. You brought some friends along with you today.
I did.
We have with us today Assistant District Attorney Leslie Cullum. Leslie, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. And Contract Public Defender for Juveniles, Derek Artrip. Derek, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Good to have you all with us today. We're talking about the youth in our community and talking about trying to see that they grow up to be good, productive citizens. Some of them have a bumpy start, but they end up well.
Absolutely. We hope that through our court that we're one of those avenues that help them to put their youthful bad decisions behind them so that they can be productive adults.
They are young people, and they do make mistakes. And unfortunately, some of them don't have other people to mentor them to show them, hey, that's not the thing to do. And so I guess that's where the juvenile court system comes
in. That is another avenue that we do, and we're required by law to have in our court system, is try to give the services and the avenues and the tools for our parents and for our children so that they can make the right decisions.
Now, your guests here today are sort of on the opposite ends of the juvenile system, aren't they?
They are, but in juvenile court, we're not such an adversarial court as in the adult criminal court, because we are statute-driven in rehabilitation and treatment of our children. And so it is a whole different avenue. Though they still have the same absolute rights as an adult, our purpose at the end is totally different. It's to help them more than, of course, we don't punish our children at all. It's all about treatment. And I've had the privilege to work with both of these fine attorneys for years, and they do extremely well representing both sides of the coin every day that we have court, and that's every day that we have, especially our detention hearings every day. So that's why I brought them today, so that people could maybe understand the difference between the prosecution and the defense of our children.
So when we look at cases in the regular court system, someone would be appointed to represent them, and I guess in this case it would be the public defender, that would be Derek, and then the person who would take the opposing side would be the Assistant Attorney General, District Attorney Leslie, right here. But you're saying that the mood is not the same as in regular court.
The mood is not the same, and they still have the same rights, they still make the same arguments. But we're more about what can we do for the whole family and the whole child as to take care of the issues that we're having. And we have to still look out to their best interests and their safety as well as the safety of the community. That's still paramount in what we have to deal with. So it can get very dicey because the same rules of mostly the same rules of evidence apply. We have our own juvenile rules of evidence because it is a different animal. And that's why I'd like for them to, and hopefully our callers will have a lot of questions so that they can explain and, again, educate this month our public on how we do balance that in juvenile court. Because it's really a lot different than it is in adult court.
Now, Leslie, you, as a member of the district attorney's office, represent not just juvenile cases. You're representing other cases, too, aren't you?
No, sir. I'm assigned.
You're strictly juvenile.
To juvenile.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, are all of the cases a lesser offense? I mean, when Judge Davenport is talking about these are treated differently, if it's a case for murder, do you have murder cases come before you, or are they switched over to the adult courts?
Once in a great while. I think since I've been here, we've had one murder case. That case was transferred to adult court. Obviously, any sort of serious offense, that's a look that we're going to make. I'm going to talk to my boss about that, look at the age of the juvenile, how serious the charge is, whether they have a prior record in juvenile court, and make that decision on a case-by-case basis.
So each case is totally different, and the child really gets, oftentimes sounds like a second chance if they made a really bad mistake there.
They certainly should. That's why juvenile court is separate from adult court. And additionally, you know, the charges may be the same, but what I always tell people is in adult court, an offense is going to have a certain term of years. There'll be assigned to it, whether it's a Class A felony, a Class B, things like that. In juvenile court, the charge may be called the same thing, but our jurisdiction only lasts until age 19, so we're going to be looking at what is the appropriate level of probation or state custody or things like that. We're not setting they're going to do 5 years, say, like they would in adult court.
And on the opposite side of that would be Derek Artrip, who is the public defender for juveniles. And do you work very closely with these juveniles? Do you pretty well become their mentor, their friend?
Absolutely. And that's what I encourage a lot of attorneys to do, because these are children that aren't savvy in the ways of the criminal law, or in this case delinquent law, and it's really important to build a rapport with your client. Children are less likely to want to open up to an attorney, and a lot of the children that come through juvenile court, not all, but a lot of them, have had difficult home lives. Sometimes there's one parent in the family, there's drug issues, there's other things going on, and it's hard for them to open up to an attorney. So it is a very good practice to spend a lot of time with your children and get them to open up to you so that you can best defend their rights and help them get the treatment that they need while protecting their rights.
Let me ask you this question, and this would be a hard one to measure, but the two of you are working with the juveniles, but the two of you are on opposite sides. Do the juveniles feel that? Do they feel that this person is here to help me, this person is here to speak against me, or do they feel that both of you are there to help them?
The way I try to explain it to the children is that it's not necessarily that the district attorney is against them, and it's not necessarily that I'm there to try to make things that happen not happen, but it's sort of a process, and I think the judge explained it very well. Juvenile court's a court of treatment and rehabilitation. It's not a court of punishment. So when I interview a child, I like to get that out of the way in the beginning so that they understand that they're there to be helped. Now, how do they personally feel? They probably do feel that, you know, the state is this, you know, horrible entity trying to, you know, take away their spring break or their prom or send them into a youth development center, which is a facility for children that are having trouble in the community. They're committing delinquent acts, and it's not necessarily safe for them to be in the local school and out in the public. So, yeah, they do understand that this is somewhat of an adversarial situation, but I think that an attorney working with juveniles that spends enough time with them can help them understand the process.
They don't like it going in, but Judge Davenport, you see the results of what happens down the road. Is that attitude different?
It does. It finally, hopefully, sometimes the light bulb comes on that we're all there for one purpose, and that's at least to try. Because the statute tells us we have to give them treatment. We have to see if there's a way that we can rehabilitate that bad behavior and turn it around. And usually when they finally get it, which we have more than not, they're very thankful. They're even thankful for the general and her position that she has to take and protect in the state's interest. And of course, they're very thankful for their defense attorney, the public defender's office. And they've hopefully, some of them do get it, you know. And unfortunately, we have a few that continue to offend even as adults.
And that's sad, but that is their choice.
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit more. We've heard from the judge about some of the response that she gets down the road. Let's look at what the response the district attorney gets and the public defender. Do you get positive feedback down the road? District Attorney Leslie Collum, what about you? Do they come to you and say, you know, I was wrong and I didn't know it, and you made me realize it?
Not so much. The juveniles have a lot of contact with families, parents, grandparents, people like that say, you know, we've turned a corner. One thing that we started doing since we've been at the new building is expungements are done on Tuesday afternoon when I'm in the courtroom. It's very nice to see these families be able to come in and say, he's done a good job, he's completed this term, I'm proud of what I can say about my son or daughter. That's something I usually don't see, and I like to see it.
And so it lets you know that your work was successful and their records are clear.
And the family was successful, really, mm-hmm. is what it means. It's not so much a reflection on my work, but the family stepped up and did what they needed to do.
You know, that's an interesting comment, because we have talked in the past about how the families need to get more involved. And somehow this has been accomplished when you see this happening.
Yes.
What is different? How did you get the families involved? Was it the crisis, or?
I think that may be part of it. I think any time a young person has had a contact with law enforcement that results in a young person being taken into custody, I think most families are going to say that we've got a problem.
Now, the three of you see youngsters every day who have made wrong decisions. How can we get to them before they get to the point where they're in court, before they're locked up, before they are having to face these issues?
Well, there are a lot of diversion programs in this community. We saw a presentation from Murfreesboro Police Department gang class. There's a DARE program. There are all kinds of boys and girls clubs, things at school guidance counselors. Majority of young people we're not seeing in court.
And I think that's what we lose sight of. It's just the 3-5% whatever segment of the population that we're seeing in court. We're not thinking about the 95% who are doing well. And maybe we need to look at them also, but obviously not forget these others.
Right.
So how does Rutherford County, you know, can we pat ourselves on the back and say we're doing a good job? Or do we need to say, there are some areas that we really need to work on?
I think we can. Whenever I talk to anybody else from another DA's office, I'm always surprised when I say, well, what does your DCS work say? Oh, I don't talk to her. Or I think our system works very well. I had to do a case for Lebanon. I was assigned to do a case up there. Found the agencies and the players to be not on very good terms with each other, which I think makes for a very bad scenario for everyone. But everyone works very well together. I think it's a model that should go statewide.
So if you don't have communications, whether you're an agency or a family, you have problems. And
exactly.
Judge Davenport, that's what I guess you're trying to do, is keep those lanes of communication open.
And that's important. If we don't work, we all have the same goal in mind. And if we don't all work together, lay egos aside or credit for whatever, that's not what it's about. It's about turning these young lives around. And we have to do that working together. And one thing I would like for our listeners to know is that we do have an informal diversion program in Rutherford County through our local court probation, our youth service officers. So if any parent out there is having difficulty with their child as far as disrespect, leaving home without permission, some school issues, attitude issues, they can bring their child any Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock, after 9 o'clock, before probably 3:30, any Wednesday, and they will meet with a probation officer that will work with them free of charge in this program. Well, I may strike that. If they go into the program, I think it's a $25 fee into the program, but that's better than $100 court cost.
Oh, yeah.
And court. You know, it's a lot better, and we have a tremendous YSO office, and they all are there also to help the child. So it is a group effort of everybody working together, of trying to make it work.
If there's a lack of respect in the first place, which seems to be the root of a lot of these actions, it must be difficult for a parent who might be small to get a 6 foot, 200-pound son convinced to go with them.
We pretty much see that every day, and we have a lot of parents, and they're usually single mothers, that fear. They fear their children, and that is very disturbing. And so there again, we need to help that mother as much as the child to be able to be strong appropriately and be able to parent her child.
Does the child realize that this is wrong for their parents?
They
to
come
fear
in
them?
Front of me, they're going to realize it before they leave. Absolutely. Okay. I make no bones about it, that they are to be respectful to their parent, but the parents have to be respectful too. It's a two-way street. And that is type of the behavior that is just not going to be tolerated, or there will be a consequence.
I think you can feel by listening to the comments this morning, tough love works, and that it's here in Rutherford County to help children. And we say children, but they're doing wrong things that adults are doing. Help them through this crisis and help them change and become good citizens. We're going to pause and check on the traffic and weather. We'll be back. And when we return, that'll be your chance. The phone lines will be open, 893-1450. If you have any questions, if you're having any problems, if you have a child or if you have a grandchild or you see something with the neighbor's kids that really concerns you, call us, because we have three people here who have a lot of experience and they can help you. 893-1450. We'll be right back.
Overnight, Good Neighbor Talk turns to UFOs, aliens, the unknown. It's Coast to Coast AM overnight every night on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Need better fuel economy? Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro today. Ford now has four vehicles that get 40 miles to the gallon or more. The Ford Fusion Hybrid, the Ford Electric Focus, the regular Ford Focus, and the Ford Fiesta all get 40 miles per gallon. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro today at the intersection of Broad and Northfield. Ford of Murfreesboro can be found online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. Looking for a new look? Update your gemstones by letting us remount your jewels into a new style. White gold, yellow gold, vintage, modern. Let Bell Jewelers help you design a special piece with your old gemstones, or let our award-winning jeweler, Bob Lanier, custom make a fabulous piece just for you.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots.
Play it again, sports!
Your baseball and softball headquarters.
Whether it's bats, gloves, pants, or training aids, we've got a great selection to get you on the diamond this summer. Name brands like Easton, Louisville, Slugger, and Worth, but at Played Against Sports Prices, we're on Thompson Lane.
Good morning once again. We have traffic easing on Broad at Memorial, also Old Fort Parkway. Traffic easing just a bit as it leads into I-24 at 96. Also seeing traffic easing a bit on I-24 westbound around the Bell Road exit, and still very busy at the junction I-24 west at I-40 west. Save now, save big, 50% off auto glass and a nationwide warranty. Trust America's auto glass specialist, Glassmasters, to beat any competitor's price. Call 248-5570. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
We have a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms developing later today. Partly sunny skies, 83 degrees for your high temperature. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Fallhuber. Currently 68.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, see Becky Walker or Jonathan Bolden at First National Mortgage Services, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, an equal housing lender.
Why don't you get a jump on lawn weed control this year with Weed Beater Ultra from Bonide? Bonide's Weed Beater Ultra is the ultimate systemic broadleaf lawn weed killer. It kills more than 200 difficult-to-control weeds right down to the roots with just one application. Weed Beater Ultra kills your lawn weeds without harming your lawn grasses. In 24 hours, you'll start seeing results. And say goodbye to those creeping Charlies, the clover, the dandelions, and the wild onions in your lawn. Unlike other brands that require temperatures of 65 degrees or higher to work, Weed Beater Ultra works fast in temperatures as low as 45 degrees. It can be applied from early spring to late fall, and reseeding can be done as soon as 2 weeks after the application. Weed Beater Ultra. It's available in quart and gallon size ready-to-use applicators, pint or quart size concentrates, and in ready-to-spray with hose-end sprayer. Weed Beater Ultra. You can get it right now, today. Right now, as a matter of fact, over at the Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church, and Martin's Home and Garden. They're on Broad, right across from Demas Restaurant. Weed Beater Ultra. Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. We're talking about the juvenile court system here in Rutherford County. We're talking about our youth in the community. Rutherford County Juvenile Court Judge Donna Scott Davenport is with us, along with guest Assistant District Attorney Leslie Cullum and Contract Public Defender for Juveniles Derek Artrip. 893-1450 is our number, 893-1450. And the lines are open for your calls about youth. If you're having some challenges with your child or grandchildren or neighbors, give us a call, 893-1450. And when I say neighbors, I'm including neighbors because we hear from sometimes senior citizens in communities who actually are afraid sometimes to go outside because of threats that are made by juveniles who are neighbors. And that seems to be a growing trend. Do you see that in the court system?
We see some of that. And there again, it's a two-way street. I'm there to protect, first, the safety of the child, that's by statute, and the safety of the community. And that's why we do have authority to restrain our children and detain them. And, of course, we have one of the best juvenile detainment centers, of course, in the state. And so we do have that authority, and we do have some of that concern for themselves.
Now, you're keeping them right there on South Church Street. They live there. Do they go to school there?
They do. If they're locked down long enough, we have to provide education. And then, of course, we have an outside area. And with the weather pretty, they're outside playing ball and different things out in that outside area as well.
Do you use any of these youngsters for work programs, cleanup programs, or anything like that?
No, we don't do that.
Okay. No. So they don't get to learn the meaning of you work and you get rewards?
Not through the detention center. Now, we do order a lot of public service work, and we're very grateful to those agencies in our and businesses. They have to be a nonprofit charity that helps take our children. And one thing I think that if I could respond, one question you asked Ms. Cullum was that what could we do better? We are finding we're having most of our programs are for children 12 and older. We are having younger children that need assistance. And we do not have programs for children 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. And we are locking
a now?
I've locked up 1 7-year-old in 13 years, and that was a heartbreak. But 8 and 9-year-olds and older are very common now. And so if anybody's listening and has that they could ease their program to include a little bit younger child, that is, you said, what can we do about getting them younger? That is part of our issue, is that we have a problem with the younger children. Now, we work real well, again, with the city schools. If we know, or the county school, if they're in one of those schools, we can maybe help through agencies that are through the Board of Education or the city school system to help us. Mm-hmm. But would y'all agree that sometimes our hands are tied there?
A seven-year-old is a second grader? Is that
right?
Yes, sir. That's scary.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that sounds like kindergarten kids could be next. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Judge Scott. How are you today?
Good morning, boy.
Good morning.
Let me tell you all something that that came out the other night. You may have heard about it. There was a senator, some gentleman, he's trying to get a law passed to get something done about it. Let me tell you something that might need locking up. It may be lock up some of these school people, these teachers, or these sports and these coaches. Let me tell you something. They came out the other night. Out of these schools, 40% or less of the people who play sports, these kids, are graduating. Did you all know this?
I did not know that.
That came out the night, and this guy's trying to get something done about it. Because, let me tell you, it happened in my family, and I know a lot of kids, other kids too. What these schools are doing, they use these kids, long as they just let them play sports. But like I just told you, 40% and less are graduating. But long as they're out there playing sports, it's all this and that. So, when they get out of school, what do you think they're going to do? The odds is they're going to do it. They're going to come up and see you guess. Because they're not going to have enough sense to get a job. This is going on nationwide. I tell you why I brought it up. You know, they had the Final Four thing there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just basketball crazy. They told the school that won the Final Four last year, that was one of the schools that they're really getting ready to go. They're not going to be able to play for the next 4 or 5 years. Because they found out the kids are just playing ball, Bart, until you guess. But they're not getting no kind of education.
Well, you know, that's a very good point. And I will say MTSU is going very hard to make sure that the students who are on the different teams, whatever team, football, basketball, baseball, everything, to make sure that they keep their grades up. And that's what they need to do in high school, too. And I would hope that they're doing it on the high school level. Good quality education. That is the formation of what you're going to, you know, have a success or not in the future. Leslie?
Yes, Bart. I would say the gentleman's hit the nail right on the head. Anytime we have a juvenile case, when a defense attorney approaches me, one thing I'm always going to ask is this child in school? Where are they in school? How is school going? To me, school is always an indicator. How this child's life is going. If they're in school and doing well, they're going to be able to get through our court system and do just fine. If they're not in school, if the family is not getting them to school, there's a problem. And most kids want to be at school. That's where the other kids are. It's social. Mm-hmm. We want them to be there to learn, but also it's a part of their life. It's something positive. And it's so important for kids to be at school, to have the right schooling. We have wonderful school systems here, both the city and the county, and they accommodate kids, get them in the right sorts of classes. We have a couple of alternative schools, special schools, but it's just key to the success of that young person.
Yes.
And I'd like to say your caller was talking about sports in school, and I think sports in school are actually a very positive thing for a lot of juveniles. It gives them an outlet for their time. It gives them some focus, and it puts them around some really good role models. We have some great coaches. We have some great teachers here in Rutherford County that work with children in the sports arena. And it can be a positive thing, and I know Judge Davenport's sure not afraid to take away somebody's ability to play some sports if they come before the court. So that's another carrot out there, or a stick, I should say, that the judge can use. A lot of kids are involved in sports. A lot of kids care deeply about sports, and sometimes the judge uses that to redirect them and focus them back to getting their behavior the way it should be by putting some consequences for their actions that way.
Very good.
Absolutely. That'll be, if they go on house arrest, they don't go anywhere but to school and home. And if they're playing ball, then we'll talk about that. But I've do not hesitate. I have locked down some star players during some important game times, and they can't be treated any differently. And that's part of they want, and I want them to go on if they're good athletes and they're also participating in the grades and they have a future with that. I want to be one to help them achieve that, but it can't be just given to them. He's absolutely right. It should not be just given to them.
They need to learn the consequences of their decisions.
Absolutely.
And I know that when you were with us in January, you told us that some of the people would be released from your facility. They had basically given up their Christmas break.
Well, we just gave up a lot of spring breaks last week.
That's what I was going to ask you. Did you have...
We had quite a few, and it was all truancies because the court order was go to school. And I look at it, they've already had their spring break.
Mm-hmm.
So they forfeited their spring break, and quite a few were locked up during spring break.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Judge Donna Davenport.
Good morning.
Hi.
Yes, I don't know if they, when they find them, the kids, if they find them when they're going to school, when they find them with dope. I was going to ask you, is there ways you can keep certain kids that's been found with that away from bad influences, bad people that's influencing them to use it? And a lot of times, unfortunately, it can be a family member, like an uncle, a cousin, something like that. If they've been arrested for it, is there a way, like a restraining order or something, that you can have them have a bad, negative influence people away from the kids? And I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you.
Let's look at the Assistant District Attorney Leslie Cullum for an answer on that.
Yes, we do no contact orders frequently, not only for young people who've been in trouble together, but sometimes there is a problematic adult or family member. Also, adults can be charged with contributing to the delinquency of a minor. So I know people call frequently about a restraining order or an order of protection. Those are not available against juveniles. Those are only avenues against adults. But we do it frequently through the no-contact order.
All right. Thank you. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Good morning.
Hi.
I was wanting to make a comment that I wanted to ask if y'all would tell me a little bit more about the Operation Integrity. The comment I wanted to make was I was amongst a few teenagers here over the weekend, and they were talking about if they got sent to Operation Integrity, that they would talk crazy to the people. And I was like, why would y'all talk crazy to the people if they're trying to help you? And they're like, well, our parents can't touch us, so they can't do anything to us. And I just want to know y'all's thoughts on that, and I'll hang up and listen. And thank y'all very much for the things that you do. Especially you, Judge Scott. Thank y'all very much.
Thank you for that very kind comment. Operation Integrity has been around probably 11 to 12 years, and it is one of the programs that works in this community. It is through our sheriff's office, and one reason it works is that the children start, I think, at 6 in the morning and go to 6 in the evening, but the parents have a four-hour block, I believe, that they are mandated also to do. And it's some physical PT. I do not think that they will talk back to one of the SROs. It's the SRO program that runs this. And of the majority of children that we see come through Operation Integrity, I would say the percentage is so low with the repeat offenders, because that is one program that works. And they are tough on them. And if they do, from my experience, you know, I've ordered it and then maybe they didn't comply, then that's a violation of a court order. I've had them brought back in front of me for that violation. And I think that they're very stern on following through with it's very structured, it's very rigid, and they do not tolerate anything. It's a day that they will remember in their lives.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
I was calling in. I was just wanting to ask, what have we done as a society that has made our children so defiant and they have no regard for any authority? And I was just wondering, in the juvenile system, is there any counseling or anything that is done for children who maybe have behavioral problems? And I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you.
Maybe Mr. Artrip could address that first on what type of services he usually asks for his client, and then maybe the general can add as far as what the state likes to add into that mix.
Certainly. Well, a lot of basic things that you see a lot of reoccurrences are things where children have anger issues. And so the Guidance Center has a terrific program here in Murfreesboro for anger management. When you work with a parent, because it's kind of a team effort on the defense side too, so when I work with a parent, I want to look at, does this parent have them, is there an underlying emotional issue? Did something happen in their life? Did a family member pass away? Are they, are certain things going on at home? Are there money problems? And you try to see if the parents are getting counseling for their underlying issues, not just the behavioral aspects of them acting out. So you want to work with the parents on that and try to, and the big difficulty is getting insurance to pay for a lot of these things. Not all families have a lot of resources to go out and seek professional help for their children, and some families need it. You want to check and see if the children are getting medication if necessary, and if that's being regulated. But from my point of view, there's a lot of parental responsibility out there that's not always being stepped up to. And when we get the older children, at that point, it's like, how did they get to this point? So I always try to encourage as much family involvement in seeking help for their children as possible. But I will tell you that the Department of Children's Services in Rutherford County is terrific when it comes to juvenile justice track children. And I like to tell the judge all the time, Miss Becky Parton is amazing and helps me incredibly, because she does a lot of good work with helping find insurance and ways to pay for these treatments that our children need.
I think people don't even stop and realize, unless you're involved in it personally, that there are health issues that create a lot of these problems.
Absolutely. I have tons of children, and we're talking about kids, and I don't mean tons, but a majority of the more serious issues. There are bipolar issues, there are depression issues, there are post-traumatic stress disorder issues that our children are facing, and kind of like your caller was saying, you know, what's happened to our society. It appears that some people aren't stepping up to their responsibilities and putting their children first. And that's my own personal opinion. But
a lack of role models, maybe, to
absolutely
show them what's right and what's wrong. Leslie, what about?
Well, I think the caller's comment about the lack of respect for authority is key. These young people are seeing adults in their lives sometimes that do not respect authority either. These kids are watching us. They're watching all of us. We need to set a good example. Now, there are young people in this community that, let me tell you what, they don't talk back to their mother or anybody else's mother. Their mothers have handled it, and most of the children we see are very polite. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. Occasionally, you'll have a kid who's not very appropriate, and almost always standing right behind them is an inappropriate parent who cannot deal with the authority, even in the courtroom, where roles are very set. Everybody kind of has to get in their place and do what they're supposed to do. But that's been a problem, and of course the media and all kinds of things show lack of authority. The criminal lifestyle is made glamorous, and kids see that and want to do it.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
Well, Mark.
Hey.
Let me answer the young lady's question.
Okay.
The reason why the kids are so off the track, the whole Pastor Randolph and listening call, you heard me talking about it last week on my show with Dan Nashville. The system has took all the parenting away from parents. That's one of America's worst problems that ever come down the pike. And to go back to the school kids, these kids can set up in school and not do nothing, and the teacher can't do anything about it. We went to school, there were rules. There's no child left behind, has been nothing but a failure. Why send a child to school if he's not put that to learn and to do better? Maybe someone can answer that today.
So you're saying the no child left behind should come along with the paddling?
Well, we left behind, if we didn't get smarter, I'm talking to anybody listening now. If we didn't do anything, we were not passed. The graduating kids, Bart, in case you all didn't know, they let them come up. Everything in America now is about a show. My child walked across the stage. Oh, he didn't he look cute? He got a piece of paper. Did y'all know some of those paper had nothing on them? Doesn't make any sense. pride. We too prideful now, you all. We gotta look good. It doesn't matter if we learn anything or not. The system has said you cannot spank your children anymore. You cannot spank them in school anymore. And guess what? They took God out of everything, young lady. That's why we're in the shape we're in.
Thank you for calling. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
893-1450 is our number, 893-1450. A final check on the weather. We'll be back. We have time for just a few more calls. 893-1450, what is wrong? What, you remember that song, Kids? What's Wrong with the Kids Today? Yeah. Oh, what is wrong?
You down because he don't love you like I love you.
WGNS Murfreesboro is true blue. Blue Raiders Sports on WGNS. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Friends, if you haven't been to Bell Furniture, you've been spending too much on your furniture and not getting the quality. Bell Furniture has the Serta Leather Sectional. Regular $10.99, they have it for $7.49. They have some beautiful chaise lounges, too. And Perry Bell wanted me to tell you that everything at Bell Furniture is made in America. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
We have a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms developing later today. Partly sunny skies, 83 degrees for your high temperature. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Felluber. Currently 68.
There is no safer place in the storm. Talk radio WGNS Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
The weight of time, long enough to leave some of us behind, and every one of us has to face that day. Do you cross the bridge or do you fade away?
Welcome back. Our phone number is 893-1450. We're talking today about the youth in our community, giving them a second chance and maybe a third, fourth, and fifth chance, too. 893-1450 is our phone number. Rutherford County Juvenile Court Judge Donna Scott Davenport's with us, along with Assistant District Attorney Leslie Cullum and Contract Public Defender for Juveniles Derek Artrip. 893-1450. How many extra chances do they get? And again, I'm still just thinking back to seven-year-olds being a second grader. Being locked up. That's scary.
Our children that young, of course, our first thing is something's wrong. So definitely we're all going to be on the same page. We haven't had any extreme, I think, general, would you agree, extreme acts by them, but they're enough to, they're felonies. Is something is going on, and that's our job, is try to wrap something around this family and give them the avenues and tools they need so that this child can continue to be a child and have her freedom and be productive. The statute is very clear, depending on the offense, but we have to make what's called reasonable efforts to give children treatment before we can bump them to a next level of probation. And the next level, we have in Rutherford County, we have three levels of probation. And then before we send them away to be locked down in a youth development center, which is a child prison, which we have several in the state.
And of course, knowing the way you act and think, that's not what you want to do.
Absolutely not. When we have to commit a child or transfer a child, I feel like there's failure on some part of the system, because that's not our go. Our go is to turn it around and stop it, and so that they know not to continue to commit the acts that they're doing. So that's not our go, is to see how many we can commit into custody and get rid of them. That can't be our go. Our go is to take care of them and provide for them and give them the treatment that they need.
Do you think it goes back to them not having someone show them right and wrong at an early age?
I think when you start telling them no when they get older, it doesn't settle well with them. And I do think that when they don't get their way from the television and the video games, it's violence. That's all they know is violence. And that is something. We have one person in my court every day to talk to our parents about anger management. That's huge that we're seeing.
Is that increasing?
Yes, I see that it's increasing.
So if there was one thing that parents and guardians did, it would reduce the anger that kids see through videos, through movies, through games.
There again, that's my personal opinion. I think that's part of the contributor, is the violence that they see.
We have about 30 seconds left. Is there a final thought that you'd like to share?
Well, I want to thank General Collum and Mr. Artrit for joining me today, and I'll leave the final word to them.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Good to have you all with us today. Thank you to the listeners for joining us in conversation this morning. And let's just listen to what we've heard this morning. And whether it's your child, your grandchild, neighbors, try to sort of encourage the youngsters to do right. Give them instructions in what's right and what's wrong. You know, they're kids and they make mistakes, so try to encourage them again when they make a mistake. Keep helping them to know what's right and what's wrong. Tomorrow at this time, we're going to be looking at a different side of the law. Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman will be joining us. We'll see you then.
The time I lost and give it back to you. But you just smile and take my hand. You've been there, you understand. It's all part.